Go with me, if you would, back to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. We are not going to look at the story of Ruth. I love this story, and I love every time that we look at the story. But we're not going to look at the story and the picture of the gospel that is here in this account of Boaz and Ruth. I want us to pray a prayer tonight. That's what I want us to do. Ruth prayed something, and she begged something, and she pleaded something, and every child of God can enter into her cry. This is the cry of a soul who needs Christ. A soul who desperately needs Christ. I was searching for tonight's message, and I was searching and searching and searching. And yesterday, I spent all day searching and searching and searching. There are times when I just run the Bible. I'll be in Genesis, and then I'll be in Revelation, and then I'll, you know, go to, well, let's try Ephesians, and let's try. And I just ran. I read accounts I don't know if I've ever read Haggai before, really, but I read it yesterday. And at the end of my day yesterday, after sincerely crying something similar to this myself, after praying this prayer myself, I came across these verses. That personal cry is what led me to these verses, and I believe this message, and I ended the day thinking, I believe that's where it is, and I got up this morning hoping that's where it was, and it was. So I pray the Lord will really bless this to us. We just read the chapter and for our scripture reading, and we know this story, but to just set up where we are in the particular verses we're going to look at. We know that Ruth had two daughter-in-laws who were married to her two sons, and her two sons died. And Ruth told her daughter-in-laws, I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. You both stay here in Moab and find new husbands. And Orpah did just that. Verse 14 says, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, I say this, I want to say this, I pray I say this, I pray I say this, and I pray you say this, and I believe you do say this. This is the constant state of a child of God. This right here. This is the constant prayer of a child of God. As we read this, let's read this from our point of view. Read it personally, all right? From our point of view, let's read this as sinners in need of a Savior. Servants in need of a master. Subjects in need of a king. Lost souls in need of Christ. Just sick, wretched, diseased, miserable souls who have been made to see their remedy. And have seen it in one person. There's only one remedy. And it's Him. I need Him. I need Him. This is the prayer of a soul who needs Christ. Now let's read it that way. Verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. I need you, oh, I need you. One thing. That's what we heard Sunday night. One thing. I need one thing. You. I need you. Can you enter into that really? I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. Over in Psalm 27. Turn with me over there. Psalm 27. Look at verse 4. Do you see the second word in verse 4? It's in italics. If your Bible has italics, italicized words, you'll see that it's in italics. When David cried this, he wrote one. One have I desired. One have I desired. You. I need you. Turn over to John 6. John chapter 6, verse 33 says, this is our Lord speaking. He said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Verse 48, he said, I am that bread of life. Verse 51, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 54, he said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 57, he said, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else to go. Please don't entreat me to leave you. Please. Will you go away? What about you? What about you? Will you go away? Please don't entreat me to leave you. In just a few chapters, the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? I'll tell you this, if we want to know whether we do love him and we do need him, all we have to do is enter into the thought of losing him. Just enter into the thought of losing him. Him walking away from us or us walking away from him. Now, he promised that he will not walk away from his people. He will not do it. And he will not let his people walk away from him. But that doesn't mean that he walks away from no one and no one walks away from him, because a great multitude just did it right here in John 6. What that means is they were not his people. That's what it means. They followed him for a while. They followed him for a while. Just think about those three words. For a while. Intrigued for a while. But in the end, it was evidence that they weren't his people. And they lost interest. And they saw no need. And they walked away. Doesn't that make you want to cry out with Ruth? Please don't entreat me to leave you. Don't even ask me that question. Lord, please, don't even ask me that question. Will you go away also? Oh, please, don't even ask me that question. I don't trust myself. I only trust you. Therefore, I need you. I need you. I need you. Go back to Ruth chapter 1. Let's see if this is the cry of our soul with Ruth, all right? And if not, let's see if this is truly indeed the cry of our soul with Ruth. And if not, if anybody here, if doesn't matter how old or how young, okay? If anybody here, after seeing this and reading this, sincerely does not think that this is the cry of their soul with Ruth, may God put it there. I pray this is the cry of my soul and your soul, and if it's not, may God put it there. Really, may God put it here. Verse 16, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. If you have a center margin in your Bible, that translates, be not against me. Be not against me. I love that. You know what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, verse 31? He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Be for me. That's what she was saying. be for me. Put yourself in her shoes. Stand in Ruth's shoes for a minute. Cry this from your heart. Can you envision this, and can you enter into this, and do you cry this? Lord, be for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, please be for me. That's the cry of our soul. Be for me. Because I'm against me. I'm against me. I'm against my flesh. My flesh goes against me, and this new man you've created in here is against my old man. I'm against me. I'm against my flesh. I'm against my sin. I'm completely against me. I need you to be for me. Even while I'm yet a sinner, I need you to commend your love to me. My only hope in this life is that you are for me. Please be for me. Please. Verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." Don't leave me, and please don't turn me away from following you. We didn't read it, but while we were there, in John 6, verse 37, our Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He said, "The soul that comes to me and follows me." Lord, teach me what it is to follow you. Teach me what it is to follow you. When he said to each one of his disciples, "Follow me, pick me, choose me, elect me, be for me, remember me, don't pass me by, and teach me what it is to follow you, and Lord, please don't turn me away. Please don't turn me away." He said, "The soul that comes to me and follows me," not the food, not the miracles, me. He said, "I will not ever turn that soul away. If any soul needs me, I will not turn that soul away." Why? Because my Father gave them to me. My Father drew them to me, and I won't turn them away. I'll raise them up, but I won't turn them away. Verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. You know, really, one of the reasons why we have such a desire to gather together like this in worship is because our Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right here in the midst of you." And if this is where he is, this is where I want to be. He said, "I've chosen to put my name in a place. And wherever he is, that's where I want to be." People talk about going to heaven. It's been said before, this is a saying that's been said many times before, wherever Christ is, that's heaven. That's heaven. There's an old song titled, "How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours." And some of the lines say this: "How tedious and tasteless the hours when the Lord Jesus no longer I see, when I can't see him. How tedious and tasteless the hours. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. I can't see him. His name yields the richest perfume, and sweeter than music his voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all within me rejoice." If I can just feel his presence. "While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove if the Lord Jesus would just dwell with me there. What he's saying is, wherever he is, that's heaven. That's heaven. If he's in a prison, that prison is heaven. And if he's not in the palace, that palace is just a toy. It's nothing. The song ends by saying, "Oh, drive these dark clouds from the sky. Thy soul-cheering presence restore. Or take me to thee up on high, where winter and clouds are no more." Ruth said, "I want to be with you. I want to be with you." That's the cry of a soul who needs Christ. I want to be with you now. I want to be with you in glory. I want to be with you in eternity. I want to be with you right now. Would you come be with me? Draw nigh to me. Verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." I want your people to be my people. Is that not our cry? I want to identify with them. I want to be identified with you. I want to confess to everybody, "I am thine, and all thine are mine." I want a vital union with you and all of your people. I want that. I want a vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his people. Verse 17, she said, "Where thou diest, will I die." Oh, Lord, I pray that I died where you died. I pray that I died where you died. I pray that I was crucified with you. It's appointed unto man once to die, and I prayed I died in you. I pray that your blood was shed for me. I pray I'm included in your sacrifice. I need to know that I was included in your sacrifice, washed in your blood. I need to know that. I need to know that I was buried with you in that tomb. Buried where you were buried. I need to know that my debt to God for my sin is paid. Because if it's not, the middle of verse 17 says, "The Lord do so to me." I have a judgment coming. I didn't die in you. If I was not buried with you, if I did not endure all of that in you, I still have a judgment coming. The Lord will do so, the same thing that he did to Christ, that's what's coming to me. My soul cries out that I endured that judgment in you. I need to know that I died in you. The end of verse 17 says, "The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." I cannot be separated from you. I cannot be separated from you. I can't be separated from you. "Let me go, Jacob." I can't. I just can't. Please don't let me ever be separated from you. If that is our soul's cry, really, with Ruth, then let's hear the answer from God to our soul's cry. All right? We'll close with this. Go to Romans 8. If that's our soul's cry, then this is God's answer to our soul. Romans 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." No. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In Christ, nothing can separate us from Christ. Please don't entreat me to leave you. Please don't turn me away from following you. I need to be where you are. I need your people to be my people. Your God to be my God. I need to die in you, be buried with you. I need you. Please don't ever separate me from you. In Christ, nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing. Look at verse 32. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's mine. She's mine. Mine. Joined in vital union with me. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 38. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What that means is, if you need Him, you have Him. If you need Him, if He is your soul's cry, you have the desire of your soul. And you will have the desire of your soul, because you're being kept by the very one you desire. Our evidence that we have Christ, and we're going to leave this world with Christ, is He will keep that cry in our souls. He will, through His goodness, in trials, tribulations, whatever it takes, to keep this cry. I need you. Don't forget about me. I need you. Come to me. I need you. That's the evidence that we have Christ, that we have Him. He'll keep that cry in our souls the rest of our days on this earth. And I pray that's our soul's cry. I pray it is. Lord, please, if it's not there, put it there for all of us. If it's not there, put it there. Like John Newton said, he said, if I have not loved before, Lord, help me to begin today, right now.